from the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and homeschool dad. This week, Washington Watch Live host and Family Research Council President Tony Perkins took some much-needed time away with his family. So this week, we'll be hearing from Washington Watch Live producer and guest host, Russ Jones. On Tuesday of this week, the issue of Christian persecution, specifically in India, took center stage. Many don't take seriously the dangers of Hinduism, which has historically been opposed to Christianity. Joining Russ to talk about it is Travis Weber, the Vice President for Policy at Family Research Council.
Travis, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks for having me back on.
Well, let's talk about India here. Just give us kind of that 30,000-foot view of what we're seeing there.
Yeah, so the 30,000-foot view really takes us back to the current government and its vision of using Hinduism to impose nationalism and impose a uniform system of how the country's religious freedom, religious pluralism should look, using the Hindu religion to and capturing it, taking that, co-opting it, and really spreading this cancerous vision of religious freedom using Hindu nationalism. Now, you know, what does that mean in practice? It means that you have people, Hindu mobs, Hindus adopting this vision, going out, not tolerating any other religion, including Christianity, using anti-conversion laws to prevent people, intimidate people, use violence in some cases, to prevent people from adopting Christianity, accepting the message of Christ, accepting the gospel, really hindering freedom of religion in India. So in essence, you don't have the freedom to choose what faith you will worship and to live that out. You don't have that currently under this increasingly spreading, this increasingly metastasizing vision of Hindu nationalism. That's really the problem, is the current Prime Minister Modi's imposition of this tolerance of those who are fomenting it and fomenting violence, even though he may not openly call for it himself, tolerance for this very intolerant view of what religious freedom means in India.
And Travis, when I was there, and I mentioned this group called the Dalits, I saw there and witnessed Dalits were converting, or they continue to convert to Christianity and Muslim, actually, the Islamic religion, to try to escape from their fate in life. And they were already an outcast, but if they did that, they're really an outcast, and there's nowhere for them to go if somehow they can escape from the country or get some other place. So it's a dichotomy that I really saw there. And Travis, I was reading that India ranks 11th just behind Iran and Yemen this year on the annual Open Doors USA list.
Yeah, I mean, things are really taking a turn for the worse. And I don't think many people understand this. It's sort of escaped a lot of public notice. You know, even the Middle East situation, we've often commented, has escaped public notice, but even that has been covered by more press than the situation in India. And we have to bring it back to this understanding that it is using these anti-conversion laws to prevent people being free to choose their faith, and really, you know, being promoted through this vision of Hindu nationalism. It had been, you know, I think more concentrated in certain parts of the country. People are familiar with violence in the Odisha area, which is to the northeast of the areas you just mentioned. But now that violence appears to be spreading. We've had situations that have popped up in very recent, even in recent days, in Hyderabad and the area to the between Hyderabad and the Odisha area, Gadchiroli, and those areas have seen Christians intimidated, violence against Christians, really all driven by this intolerance of people's ability to choose their faith, choose Christianity in this instance. And this is not directed solely at Christians. In India, you have a lot of these Hindu nationalists targeting Muslims and those who choose to worship differently, and a lot of horrific things, you know, going on. You have a case right now involving an ongoing appeal of seven Christians in the Odisha area that the Odisha High Court continues to put off hearing. These Christians have been convicted, likely wrongfully convicted, for the killing of a Hindu leader several years ago, and they're illiterate, most of them. If they're languishing in jail as the Odisha High Court puts this off, the High Court really needs to hear this case. You need fair and impartial rule of law in India as it concerns religious freedom. That means the freedom of everyone to choose their faith and live it out. And we're really going to continue to spotlight this, highlight it, call attention to it until the Indian authorities reclaim the rule of law that they assert they have. It really is not holding up when you look at situations like this situation in Odisha with the High Court refusing to hear this appeal, not hearing it yet. So regardless of the image they may want to portray to the West about having a democracy, that really is not going to hold up unless you have freedom of religion, unless people can have the freedom to choose their faith in India.
Right. Well, Travis, thanks so much. We're up against the wall here. Travis Weber, appreciate you so much, and I'm sure you're going to keep an eye on this and keep us up to date.
I will. Thanks, Russ.
You can find out more when you head over to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links. Also, I want to invite you to be a part of keeping Washington Watch on the air. Your involvement through notes of encouragement, prayer, and your financial support are vital as we bring you this program week after week. Simply go to TonyPerkins.com and drop us a line or make a contribution. Again, that's TonyPerkins.com.
Let's keep the momentum going in this fall's election by voting your values. If you're like me, you care a lot about where our culture is headed, and now is the time to stand for biblical truth and fight for faith, family, and freedom in the public square. To be equipped for this mission, mark your calendars for the Values Voter Summit on September 21st to the 23rd in Washington, D.C. Speakers include Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Oliver North, Laura Ingraham, Steve Scalise, Dana Lash, and Ben Carson. Visit valuesvotersummit.org or call 1-877-372-2808 for more information.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, David Salkeld. Army Chaplain Scott Squires is the latest evangelical Christian military chaplain to be sued for being reluctant to affirm gay marriage. The Fort Bragg, North Carolina minister is being sued by a lesbian soldier for rescheduling a marriage retreat he had planned. Joining Washington Watch Live guest host Russ Jones is Hiram Sasser, general counsel with First Liberty.
Hiram, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, appreciate you being here. I'm always just a little baffled when same-sex couples just really long to have the marriage counseling from a Southern Baptist pastor type. Can you help explain this?
Well, you know, I think they were signing up for a marriage retreat that he happened to be hosting. And I think what's the most important thing about what happened with Chaplain Squires is that he went to his command just within minutes of when that same-sex couple wanted to sign up for the marriage retreat to be able to see what procedures needed to happen and to help facilitate allowing them to go on the marriage retreat, but with also allowing him to keep his endorsement from the North American Mission Board, the Southern Baptists, that would not allow him, obviously, to lead that type of marriage retreat with their participation. And so, you know, there's an easy path here, and he took that easy path to accommodate the same-sex couple, but also adhere to his religious beliefs, and he's required to adhere to those religious beliefs by Army regulation. And so that's what he did. So the fact that he's being recommended for court-martialed and, you know, thrown in jail for doing that is absolutely outrageous.
Yeah, and that's the key point here, is that he attempted to remove himself from the very event that he had organized and get another chaplain to take his place, but that wasn't good enough. Are we understanding that right?
That's what exactly, because, you know, what ended up happening is, you know, we have We even have a testimony that was completely ignored by the investigator, but it's part of the record, where the replacing chaplain, the person who came in and ended up conducting that marriage seminar, said, you know, of course, Chaplain Squires did everything right. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. Like I said, he contacted his commander immediately. His commander confirmed that. But now his career is going to be ruined, even though he followed the rules.
Right. And I presume this is the JAG that's doing the investigating within the Army?
No, a guy by the name of Major Alexander Ford is the investigating officer, and he's the one recommending to court-martial Chaplain Squires and throw him in jail, because all Chaplain Squires did was follow the rules of his endorsing organization, again, the Southern Baptist, and federal law and Army regulations, which say that while he's serving, he has to maintain his endorsement from his denomination, and if there's something that he's being asked to do that, you know, he would cause him to lose that endorsement, he needs to find someone else to do that, and that's exactly what he did.
And for our listeners, if you don't have a denominational endorsement and you desire to serve in the military, you can't do that. Isn't that right? You have to have the recommending, the endorsement from your denomination that is then approved by the chaplaincy department.
No, that's exactly right. And there's that process. Because what happens, the chaplains are representatives of their denominations into the service. Okay? Now, you know, they're also part of the Grand Army team, so sometimes they fill in for each other in different ways, with the goal being to meet the needs of the soldiers. That's exactly what he did, and for them to still come after him is just absolutely outrageous. But we'll see what Major General Sontag has to say about Major Ford's recommendation to throw Chaplain Squires in jail. We'll see if General Sontag thinks that that's a good idea to throw chaplains in jail for following Army regulations and federal law or not.
Now, where are things now, and what have you done?
Yeah, well, what we've done is we've lodged our response and our appeal, and we're waiting on Major General Sontag to make a decision. It's been many months now. He hasn't made a decision. We could probably engage in a side, you know, conversation about decisiveness and leadership in terms of this delay. But that's where it sits right now with General Sontag, and you know, who's in charge of our special forces, so we'll find out if he thinks it's the right thing to do to throw Chaplain Squires in jail for seeking as best he can to accommodate the request of a same-sex couple. We'll see.
So do you think the underlying motivation was it didn't matter whether he tried to accommodate or not? It was just the fact that he couldn't do it?
I don't know. I don't know what Major Ford's problem is, to be honest with you. I don't know what is leading him to recommend throwing him in jail and court-martialing him when, you know, he immediately goes to his commander to try to figure out how can we make this accommodation and do it in an appropriate way. And so when someone does everything right, to be recommended, that we're not just talking about a small slap on the wrist here. We're talking about being court-martialed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's absolutely outrageous.
Which means losing pension, retirement, all of those things. Is Chaplain Squires, real quick, we're out of time. Is he on leave right now?
No, he's still serving as a chaplain.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. We appreciate, our listeners are concerned about these, Hiram, and appreciate you bringing us up to date.
Hey, thanks for having me.
To find out more about Hiram Sasser and First Liberty, just head over to tonyperkins.com and follow the links. Also, a quick reminder that your generous contributions to Family Research Council enable us to continue making these programs available, and you can donate when you visit tonyperkins.com. We'll be right back with more Washington Watch right after this.
Who is speaking? Speaking Up for Christians in Washington, D.C. For over 35 years, Family Research Council has been your voice for advancing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview in our nation's capital. Stand with us as we defend the truth and preserve the vision that our founding fathers had for this country. To learn more about FRC, go to frc.org and follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest news.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. Modern feminism seems to have left many women behind.
I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House. My name is Ashley Judd.
Ashley Judd is here.
And I am a feminist. I am a nasty woman.
Remember some of those outrageous comments following President Trump's election during the Women's March? Madonna, Ashley Judd. We're lifting up yet another amazing organization. Compare those words to these, coming from women involved with Homemakers for America and the new Moms March movement. Listen.
Mothers, biological or mothers in spirit, get to be the guardians and the protectors of the American legacy.
As the moms, we are the true nucleus of society.
I can tell you, ladies, there is not one role more important on the face of this earth than what you're doing as a mother, a grandmother, a mentor, a caregiver to tomorrow's generation.
For far too long, you've been made to feel that the work done in your home is beneath you, that there are more productive ways for you to spend your time. That is a lie.
You name me one issue that isn't a women's issue. I don't care if it's military, education, health care, car care. I don't care what it is. We deal with it all, and we're concerned about everything because we're raising tomorrow's leaders.
There is no one that knows your kids or your grandkids better than you.
Founded in 2004, Homemakers for America's national nonprofit educational corporation, rooted in the principles of liberty and virtue our nation was founded on, and focused on promoting these principles, values, and virtues in the home and family, particularly through the women and mothers of America. And recently, the organization has launched Moms March for America. Here to tell us all about it is Kimberly Fletcher, president and founder of Homemakers for America Incorporated. Kimberly, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. I am so excited to be on the show today.
Well, how did we set that up? Did we tee that up for you to kind of explain what you all are about?
That was fantastic. I mean, you couldn't have juxtaposed it better. I was so shocked, and I wasn't the only one, obviously. We had tons and tons of women who, moms and young women even, who came on our social media and said, oh my gosh, that is not who we are. And the big question was, why is the media even giving them any kind of attention at all? That's just disgusting. And for me, the message for those women was, if you're there because you don't like the behavior that someone has displayed, why are you displaying worse behavior than they did? We should be lifting the bar, not lowering it. And that's exactly what we did at the Moms March last year and what we're doing with this movement right now.
Now, you come to this from a very interesting perspective. You're married to your husband's in the Air Force and mother of eight children. And on September 11th, 2001, your life took a dramatic turn when a 757 passenger jet flew into the United States Pentagon where your husband was stationed. Is that right?
That was a very, very difficult day for our family. It was actually a series of miraculous events that he even came home. He was supposed to be in a meeting in that very wing that morning. And the day before, I took my daughter to the doctor. She had asthma, and they prescribed medication for her. And when we went to pick it up, her ID card had expired, which meant we couldn't pick up the medication. And so I said, well, I'll just pay for it. And they said, well, one of the medications is $125. And I said, and I'll be back tomorrow. And so I called my husband and asked him if he could take her to Quantico on the way to work and then before work and get her ID card, and he was able to do that. And that's the reason he wasn't there that day. And several of the people that he worked with did not make it home that day. And it was kind of a really surreal event that evening when we when we sat on the couch, all huddled together, and I couldn't figure out how we got here as a country. And I always thought that I was patriotic, but it wasn't until that day that I became a patriot. And I committed to do whatever it took to make sure that my children remained free and that I honored the sacrifice that my husband was making in serving our country.
So when someone like Badonna says, I've been thinking a lot about blowing up the White House these days, that has a major impact on you and your family and the other families who are in the military. So you did something about it.
I did. And we decided that that's not who we are as women. And if we don't like what the culture's doing, then we do need to stand up and speak out and raise that bar. No matter where we are, we set the tone. Even women, when they walk into an office, they're setting the tone for how the men are going to behave in that whole entire office. That's the impact that we have. And we wanted to create an environment where, first of all, women were empowered and realized that they did have a voice and that they could speak out and speak truth and say, this is not who we are. This is not what we stand for. And so we've given the silent majority of women in America a platform to reclaim our culture for truth, family, freedom, and the Constitution, which protects our divine inherent rights as mothers. That's what this movement is about.
Kimberly, we're up against a break. Would you mind holding on and coming back after the break?
Sure. Yeah.
I want to keep. We still have a lot to talk about. We're talking with Kimberly Fletcher, president and founder of Homemakers for America Incorporated. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins.
Did you know that Washington Watch is a daily program hosted by Family Research Council President Tony Perkins that covers the issues of faith, family, and freedom? Tony is your leading source for what is really happening in our nation's capital. The Daily Show airs from 5:05 to 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time on the American Family Radio, Bot Radio, and KTLW radio networks, as well as independent Christian radio stations across the country. Go to TonyPerkins.com for more information.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. We're going to rejoin the interview that guest host Russ Jones had with Kimberly Fletcher, president of Homemakers of America.
Well, we're talking with Kimberly Fletcher, president and founder of Homemakers for America Incorporated. Kimberly, thanks for holding on.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Now, tell us about Moms March for America. This is kind of a new part of what you've been doing for some time.
It is. So we launched the Moms March for America rally and convention last year. And for me, it was a one and done thing. We were just going to say, okay, this is what we really stand for. This is the silent majority of women in America. This is who we are. And this is what we care about. But I got to tell you, the message resonates very powerfully, because as I was leaving the stage that day, I was flooded with women coming up to me and pleading with us to do it again. And one woman looked at me, and she had her little baby in her arms, tears streaming down her face, and she said, I don't have the courage to lead, but I have the courage to follow, and I'll follow you guys anywhere. And I knew we had to do it again. They're hungering. Women are hungering for a better message, and we're giving it to them. And really, all we did was validate what they already knew in their hearts to be true, that what they're doing is the most important thing that they will ever do and the greatest act of patriotism they will ever perform for their country. And they feel it, and we validate it, and then they get excited and empowered. So we are doing it again, and it's going to be in San Antonio this year on November 2nd and 3rd. We are finalizing the venue today. We're going to be announcing that, which is pretty awesome. And it's going to be just as incredible as last year. We added a couple of extra things. We're going to be focusing on Operation Mom Vote, because we want women to realize that the two most powerful places where their voice has the greatest impact is in their home and with their vote. And we need to stop checking out. The devil doesn't check out when we do. We need to check back in. And the other thing we've introduced is Mom Talks, TED Talks for moms, because moms wanted us to bring the Moms March everywhere, and we couldn't. It's expensive. It takes a lot of time. So we're bringing Mom Talks to churches all over the country, where we can bring these speakers to them, and the whole world gets to benefit from these presentations.
Now, Kimberly, let's talk about the importance of voting your values.
We need to vote our hearts. Here's the thing. There's a whole block of people who are voting their values, but they're completely contrary to ours. And when we see things like co-ed bathrooms being pushed in our children's elementary school, that's a result of us checking out. We need to check back in. Voting our values is how we shape the culture. We teach and nurture these things in our home with our children, and then we vote those things when we go out to the polls.
Yeah, and if you're Christian, an evangelical Christian, and the scriptures are authoritative to you, then a candidate that is a pro-abortion candidate, is you don't want to vote for that candidate because it doesn't support your values. That's a good example, correct?
It is. The big problem that they have, though, is that they don't know who the people are, because a lot of the candidates will say they're one thing and then they become something else. And so what we tell them is, listen, there's never going to be a perfect candidate. So find the best candidate that represents you, because that's getting us closer to the better candidate. Life is a pretty simplistic issue to vote on. And a candidate who says they're for life, hold their feet to the fire. One of the things we're encouraging women to do is, you know, with your children, with your family, get together and after the election, put a card together, have your kids draw pictures, put your family picture in there, and send it to those five people that just won the election to represent you. Thank them for their service and ask them to hold the line on God, freedom, and family, the values that made America strong and the values that will keep America strong. And when they start to hear from us in this positive, reinforcing way, then they will listen to us when we call and say, I don't really like that you're doing that. So when they start to cross the line and say, well, I was for life, but maybe I'm not, then we can make a phone call and say, That's not what you said you were when I voted for you. That's the power we have as women.
Kimberly, where can folks find out more about what you're doing?
MomsMarchUSA.com. You can get all the information on the event, on our movement, and the great resources we have. MomsMarchUSA.com.
Kimberly Fletcher, thank you so much. I know there's a lot of women out there that are going, amen, sister. So I appreciate you coming on Washington Watch. Keep us up to date on what's going on, would you?
Will do. Thank you so much, Russ.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.